Welcome to Barn Banter by Horse Illustrated, a podcast with something for all horse lovers. I'm Raquel Lynn from Los Angeles. You might know me from my blogs, Horses and Heels, or Stable Style.
And I'm Susan Friedland from Saddle Seeks Horse. Raquel and I grew up reading Horse Illustrated magazine and riding as much as possible.
Today, we both write for the magazine and are friends in real life.
Join us each month as we do one of our favorite things, talk about horses and the horse lifestyle.
Today, we spotlight one of Horse Illustrated's frequent contributors, Hope Ellis Ashburn, and go behind the scenes with her ag-centric life. Later, we will be joined by Leah Kaufman, the creator of the popular equestrian lifestyle brand, Dapple Bay. Finally, we will learn about a new adoptable horse from ASPCA's Right Horse Program. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Raquel. Good to see you. And I do see you, even though our listeners, we're recording yes. This on Zoom, so it's fun. We get to
talk. Absolutely. Well, how is Knight doing?
Knight is wonderful with a side of ulcers. This horse, I love him. I've had him almost 8 years, and he is a golden retriever of an off-track thoroughbred. And he is, okay, so his one vice is that he cribs. And I have one of those hay nets that has like the metal frame and you flop it down to put the hay in. And so a new behavior that's emerged the last couple of weeks is he cribs on that metal bar that's like attached to the wall. And and he wears a crib strap, but I know when he starts really cribbing in earnest that something is up with him. And so I was going to be doing this dressage virtual show, one of the intro tests. I just got a dressage saddle, by the way. I don't remember if I told you that, but long story short, we did the video of it and he just looks uncomfortable. So I have the vet coming out to scope him.
Poor Knight, but at least what I think is that you know those little signs, you know, because horses that do have ulcers tend to be prone to flare-ups and stuff like that, but at least you know that something is going on and you're getting it taken care of. But I know it's stressful. I mean,
it is stressful because the farm where I have him, he has lots of turnout, much more than he did when he lived in California. And there's always hay. I've never boarded at a place that has so much hay just, you know, 24/7 in front of the horses. So I'm really grateful for that. It's so crazy. But so I was Googling again, like, you know, causes of ulcers. So I'm thinking, what am I doing? Yeah. What's the thing? And what I came up with is possibly the weather changes. Knight is a Florida bred thoroughbred and he lived most of his life in California. And now we're in the Midwest and there's been a lot of snow and low temperatures and then kind of getting back up into the 40s. The other thing I landed on is he is in a field with about three or four other geldings. And I don't know what the herd dynamics are. I know he's not the top dog, so to speak, but he's not really bullied. It's like a nice mellow group, but still, you know, I have problems with my friends that I'm very close to sometimes. And, you know,
Raquel,
it is, you know what? I think I'm a sensitive person and I have a sensitive horse. I think maybe we are one and the same.
I understand. Yeah. You kind of take after one another, right?
Yes. Yes. I just wish I were as fast as he is, but enough about me. I want to hear about Fira, but before we talk about your lovely paint mare, please tell me about your new chickens. I saw you got a couple little hens, baby hens.
I did. I got, so if you know, I already have four silkies, and they kind of just multiply. Chicken math is you start with two, which I just wanted. We have a small backyard, so I got two, and my husband and I love them so much that we're like, oh, let's get two more. And so then we had four. And then over Christmas, I was like, well, we had gotten a bigger coop. And I was just like, what if we get two more? So we got two new Silkies and they're adorable. I've named them Moira and Alexis from, you know, a very popular TV show. And Moira is this little, she's actually what's called a paint Silky. She's white and black. And then Alexis, she's brown and she has these really cool feathers that right now you can't tell because she's like a baby, but they're going to be really defined. And I can't think of the proper chicken term for describing her feathers, but
I wouldn't know what it is anyway, because I'm not a chicken girl. But okay, yeah. I have two questions for you. Well, an observation and then a question. So the observation is, I love the fact that you have a paint horse and a matching paint chicken. And does Alexis go around saying, ew, David?
You know, Alexis actually, she has a nickname of Hops. She goes around like, and she jumps on. I've never had a chicken. Silkies can't really fly. People don't realize that because their feather texture. So they can't really, like, they can flap their wings, but they can't get airborne. So, Alexis, because of her feather texture, she actually can. So she's been like, we call her Hops because she'll be like, I'll be out there and she'll like just hop on top of my shoulders or like hop on top of me. And so she's very, she has a lot of personality.
I feel like that could be the basis for a Dr. Seuss like book.
Yeah. So I've entered crazy chicken lady phase of my life and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I think if it makes you happy, Raquel, you know,
yeah.
What more? I mean, at least you're not going down the path of getting a second horse.
That's too expensive. That's why we get chickens, because we can afford them.
Yes, I love that. So Fira.
She's doing great. I was on a vacation, so I guess you could say she was on a vacation. And now I'm just getting ready to get back to riding her, getting her back in shape. I think I'm going to take her out into the hills after this later today. But her and I both kind of want to get back into shape and just go out, take her to the beach and just start doing more trail rides. I feel like I didn't do as many adventures last year. So I think 2023 is going to be the year of adventure again for Fira and I.
Okay. So you know what I came across the other day is I found the Horse Illustrated article of you and me, and we were doing the trail ride up to the Hollywood I don't remember if we saw that, because I've done a few different rides, but all that to say, this was at the peak of the Los Angeles pandemic, and we're wearing like actual cowgirls, the little, you know, bandana. Yeah.
Yes, so, bandanas.
That was fun. Those were good times. I loved it that we could go out and I could rent a horse and the people knew you there. And so they would just let us go.
I know that is the perk. Yeah. You're not supposed to go without a guide, but if they know you in the neighborhood, they kind of just, they let that slide. So I got to take Susan out without a guide. And obviously she knows how to ride. So that's another indicator, but yeah, that was awesome.
We need to do that again.
Yes. We'll do a new girls trip.
Yeah. And one other thing I have to report on, in our last episode, I said that one of my New Year's resolutions was to breathe better.
Yes.
I have been using, this is going to sound totally kooky, but I've been using mouth tape. Do you know about this?
I read about it in your newsletter, but elaborate for those who don't know about it.
So I had a blog post, you could check it out, saddleseekshorse.com, about breathing for equestrians. And there was this little side thing that I picked up on about how breathing through your mouth when you sleep is really bad for you. And there is a product that exists, actually several different brands of mouth tape, so that you can basically tape your mouth shut for sleeping.
Oh, no.
But it's shaped like an X. And so that way you can open your mouth a little bit on the sides. And the craziest thing is, since I've been using the mouth tape for the last couple of weeks, I am sleeping much better. Like, I have to wake up usually once in the night, but the quality of my sleep has gone up tremendously. And yeah, so I'm all about the mouth tape.
That's fantastic.
I need to try it. And I went to my dentist and he said, I was telling him about it. And I'm assuming that most people are going to respond like, what? That's weird. And he said, oh yeah. He said, no, actually that breathing through your mouth is bad for your teeth because it allows more bacteria to get on your teeth. And so he seemed at least in favor, if not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he didn't think it was radical.
Yeah. It seems like that's kind of his feel a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So, and
that's
then
fantastic.
The other thing I've done that I'm super excited about is I literally reorganized my sock drawer yesterday. Because I have riding socks that are very long. I have athletic socks that are very short. I have my everyday socks that are about ankle length. And it's just hard because they were all like in a mound in a drawer. And so I found these honeycomb shaped dividers and I feel transformed.
Well, new year, new organization. I feel like it goes with the theme of just, doing all the new things, right?
Definitely. So is there anything else that we should know about life in the Rancho?
No, you know what? It's pretty quiet around here, which is good. We've had a lot of rain and so everything's getting green and beautiful. And I think we're all just kind of itching for some warmer weather, which, you know, for us is like, it's in the 60s right now. And so we're being babies.
We'd like it to get up to 70 and then you'll
yeah,
be
exactly. That's all I ask. But yeah, it's really good. And I'm looking forward to chatting with our guests on today's show. So let's get to it.
Let's do. Hope Ellis Ashburn of Red Horse on a Red Hill Communications is an award-winning author, educator, equestrian, and farmer whose writing has appeared in over a dozen publications, including Hobby Farms, Horse Illustrated, and Young Rider. Hope and her family live in a 1927 farmhouse on their Tennessee Century farm in the Sequatchie Valley, where they raise hay and Black Angus cattle. Farm residents include a half Arabian mare, Sally, an American Warmblood gelding, Bucky, two donkeys, Harmony and Gooby, Border Collie dogs, Gus and Daisy, and a house cat named Rose. Hope, I'm so happy to have you on the show today. And I want to hear more about all of your critters on the farm. But first of all, let's start with just tell us what it's like to live on a century farm, what that is, and what it means to you to be on that.
Well, in Tennessee, we have a designation for farms that have been in continuous operation by the same family for at least 100 years. And so here on Ashburn Angus Farm, our farm will actually hit its 200th anniversary in 2024. So in two more years, we will have been part of the same family for that length of time. And my daughter is actually the eighth Ashburn generation that will be part of Ashburn Angus Farm. So that's pretty exciting. We actually have documentation where the farm was, to meet those initial criteria, we had to track and provide records all the way back. It's a pretty lengthy and involved process. And so we have where the Ashburn squatted the land and fenced it and then applied for a deed through the state. And so we have the first deed transfer there to the first Ashburn that farmed the property. So that's pretty neat. And it really means a lot to me. It's I have generations of farmers in my background and come from a farm family myself. But my family moved around from farm to farm, for example, from Ohio to Tennessee. But my husband's family has been farming here for that many generations. And it's just a wonderful thing to be a part of that history.
I have two follow-up questions. And the first is, are you going to have a big party maybe in your barn when you hit the 200th anniversary?
Since my daughter is going to be graduating from college, and you've met Maddie, and so she graduates from college in 2024, and the farm hits the 200th anniversary then. So we are going to have a graduation / 200th birthday celebration here.
That is really cool. And then my other question is, have you ever found anything, artifacts or anything, you know, that you think are from maybe the earliest Ashburns that were living on the farm?
Well, one of our plans, and this is in the future, because as you know, if you have a farm, you always have future plans, but the farm actually started, had a dairy very early on. And so we have, the dairy barn is still here, the concrete building, and we would like to make it into a farm museum at some point, just for the things that we found here. And we have my husband's dad had multiple sisters who have given us things to include there. We have equipment that we found, all those things that we plan to put into the museum. It'll be a personal museum, but into the museum just for future, you know, generations at some point to take care of everything. So that's pretty neat. And then we also have, our farmhouse was built in 1927 by my husband's grandparents. And so we do have a couple of furniture pieces from the original house, which is pretty exciting too.
That, I love that. All right. And now let's go beyond your farmhouse and tell us a little bit, if you could paint a picture for listeners, of what your corner of Tennessee is like. Maybe the geography, the colors, what the people are like, horse things. We want to hear all about it.
Sure. So you were asking me about the Sequatchie Valley pronunciation. So Sequatchie is actually an Indian name, and it means trough. And so aerial views, you can actually see the Sequatchie Valley, its shape in between the mountains. So it's a beautiful, beautiful valley. Right now we have multiple, it's supposed to be winter. We have had all different kinds of seasons this week already, from summer to winter to spring. It almost seems like fall weather sometimes. You can get everything in a week, but it's truly beautiful. Beautiful, and nothing is ever too extreme. Horse-wise here, I'm kind of different in that I ride English primarily. Most of our people, my neighbors and so on, have gated horses or quarter horses. And so Western is very traditional, even riding Western on gated horses, and to some extent saddle seat, of course, on gated horses is what you will see. And so I have my half Arabian mare, and I have my draft cross warm blood gelding Bucky. And so those are, and I have two donkeys. And so those kind of, we have here on the farm where we live, it's 40 acres. It's the smaller of the two farms. And the other farm is about 70 acres. We have actually two properties. And anyway, we keep cattle there. We have 50 Black Angus mama cows, and we have a cow-calf operation. And so we, after we wean the calves, we raise them up to about 750 pounds, and then they go to market at that point. So every day is something exciting, something new. I start my day at 5, and in the morning before school, getting up and doing chores, and then go to school and come home and do chores, and then try to get some horseback riding in and some riding as well.
And you were mentioning your donkey, and one of the things that I was excited to talk to you about is because you do write for Horse Illustrated so much, and I've noticed sort of a theme in that you like to feature adoption stories or maybe local riding facilities that, you know, really connect with people in the area, whether it's therapeutic riding or special needs. And so I know that you have an adoption story of your own with one of your donkeys, and maybe both of your donkeys, but if you could tell us a little bit about how Harmony came into your life.
Well, Harmony was my first, and she didn't truly come from a rescue. She just came from sort of a tough situation. And so when I found her, it just, I found her on a local sales network ad, which was pretty interesting. And when I found her, she was in a mud lot with this halter on that didn't fit. And not much for shelter and just a little bit of hay out there. And I was like, I went shopping and then everything went out the window and I just ended up, none of the checklist mattered. She's coming home. And so, and it was kind of funny because the owner told me that she was not halter broken, but she seemed to know that she was leaving. And I put the lead rope, we got her caught and got the lead rope on and of course got the butt rope and prepared for a little tussle getting on the trailer, but she jumped right on. Like she knew exactly where she was going. And she has been at home here ever since. And she's such a great little companion for my half Arabian mare. And for whatever reason, there's several reasons, my two horses cannot be pastured together. That doesn't end well. And so they each have their own emotional support donkey.
Aww, that's hilarious.
Yes. And then now I have Gooby, which is comes from a true rescue situation.
Well, I want to hear that. I somehow missed that story.
Yes. So Gooby, Gooby's owner was an elderly gentleman who passed away in Middle Tennessee. And the gentleman had a horse and a donkey. And when he died, there was no family, they were just standing abandoned with no one to take care of them. And law enforcement picked them up and took them to a rescue. And the horse, they were able to find a home for pretty quickly, but the donkey took a bit longer. And my new horse, Bucky, I had him away for 90 days of training, and my trainer actually trains horses for the rescue. So if she gets an unstarted horse in, or if she gets something that maybe needs to be restarted to make them a little bit, you know, more sellable, more adoptable, placeable, that type of thing. So she does that. She knew of the donkey. She knew I was looking for a companion for my new horse and suggested him. And now they're inseparable. And now I have two donkeys, and I never thought that I would have one, but now I have two.
That I saw on, I think it was Instagram the other day, some yes. Frisking and cavorting. Yes. I don't know which one it was, but
that was Harmony.
Certainly
that was
cute. Super cute. All right. And then the other question I had is about an article you did, and I believe the title, and this is for Horse Illustrated, the article was Safe Landings. And what would you say, and listeners should obviously go and check out that article. I hope I can't remember which issue it was.
I would have to check. It's been a few months ago, not terribly far back.
Yeah. But what would you say would be a takeaway or things that we as horse people should keep in mind so that in the event we're no longer able to take care of our animals, that they have a safe landing?
I think one of the inspirations for me for that article is I actually had some very close friends that had about 50 horses that were not placeable. They were older horses. They were unbroken horses. And basically there was nothing about them that would, you know, if they were advertised to make someone say that I want to adopt, you know, this horse. And so when they passed away, they ended up in a very unfortunate situation because there wasn't a plan and the horses were not placeable. And so that was what inspired the story to begin with. And so from that, having that background knowledge into that, one of the things, the biggest takeaways, and this was said consistently from all my horse sources that I interviewed for that, was just make sure that your horses have some training on them. Because if you can ride that horse, even if it's not fancy broke, so to speak, if you have three solid gates, you know, stop and go, that horse, I mean, there's lots of other things too, obviously, but that horse is much more placeable if those things are in place.
I was going to say that's fantastic, because I can think of another situation that I learned about. And, you know, they say the best thing you can do for your horse is teach them manners and just that anyone can handle them. Because if that does ever happen, or, you know, even when you go out of town, which is something that Susan knows I deal with it in my neighborhood, anyone can handle my horse if I have to pop out of town and lead her and stuff like that. And I know some people who you can't handle their horses when they go out of town, and they're in a stressful situation. So
And it's huge. It's huge. Just manners and, you know, be people, and you have to keep them going. I mean, that's another aspect of that, because you do see a lot of ads for people looking to place horses. They're trying to be proactive, but the horse has not been ridden in 6 months to a year to more. And you don't know, you know, are those skills still in place? Because some horses you could get on and ride right off, but some horses, obviously, that would not be the case. And so it is important to keep those skills refreshed too.
Hope, I feel like I could talk to you for hours.
Yeah,
I'd love to, but I know you're a busy woman with a lot of goings on there at your century, soon to be. Is there a word for
two? I don't know. I would have to look that up.
So bicentennial farm?
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe. But anyway, thank you for coming on the show. And where is the best place for listeners to connect with you, see your work? I know you're an author of some books. Where can people find you?
So I am on Facebook and Instagram. You can find me at Red Horse on a Red Hill, which is the name of my freelance communications business. I'm on LinkedIn under Hope Ellis Ashburn. And then I have a website, which is redhorseonaredhill.pubsitepro.com. So, and you can find all my articles there and links to my books and all kinds of things.
Fantastic. Thank you again for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
With unrivaled performance and breakthrough equine technology, Exhibitor's color enhancing system is pH balanced, contains no harsh chemicals, bleaches, or dyes, and intensifies your horse's natural coat color, contrast, and shine. Champion dressage trainer and international Grand Prix rider Amina Said Bursas says, "My favorite thing about Exhibitor's products is that they work. It's so evident that they are products for horses made by a horse company. My favorite product is Quicksilver, mostly because it has so many uses for me. I use it on the horses, my own blonde hair, and I use it to wash my white breeches." For professional show ring results, Exhibitor's formulas clean and maintain the magnificence of your show horse. Visit exhibitorlabs.com to learn more. Leah Kaufman is the CEO, creative director, and artist behind Dapple Bay, a top-selling equestrian apparel and accessories brand. The creative mind behind Dapple Bay's sassy sayings and unique products, Ms. Kaufman fully conceives the equine designs for the company's attire and accessories. She not only built Dapple Bay into a successful business, but also uses the company to celebrate a shared passion for horses between the consumer and herself. Hi, Leah. Thanks for joining us.
So fun to be here.
Leah, I've followed you for a long time, but recently I got to interview you and feature you in the January-February issue of Horse Illustrated, which was really fun. So if you don't know Leah, I encourage you to pick up that copy of Horse Illustrated. But in the spirit of 2023 and it being February, I think you're such a great inspiration because a lot of people might be at a turning point where they're thinking about either taking a hobby into something full time or, you know, maybe ditching their day job. And that's something that we're going to talk about today with you.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I think the turn of the new year is always when you think about what's next. And, you know, certainly with Dapple Bay, I always have big plans. So yeah, I'd love to chat more about that.
Hey, before we get started, Leah, quick question, because I know you're a huge thoroughbred fan and I love the name Dapple Bay because my heart belongs to a Dapple Bay thoroughbred, but I don't think I know the origin story of the name. So maybe just give us the real quick synopsis on that.
Well, so my heart horse was named Lady. Well, her racing name was Could Be Fine, which I thought was the stupidest name for a horse. So I named her Fine Lady when I was 13. But she was plain bay, but she had beautiful dapples. So Lady was the inspiration for the name Dapple Bay. And then the logo I came up with when I was in college because I was a design major. And so I thought, what a cool, you know, the D and the B make the apple. So I thought that was fun. So Dapple Bay, the name and the logo has been around since like 2008, way before there was even a business.
That's cool. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And before we start talking a little bit about, you know, your job and everything that you do, for listeners who aren't familiar with Dapple Bay, give us like, you know, a picture about some of your apparel, because it's really fun. And I think that a lot of people can relate to it, no matter what discipline you ride.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, as I said, like Dapple Bay has kind of always been this idea and brand before it was ever a business. It's always been kind of my creative outlet. And it became a thing for the first time when I lived in Georgia. So I'm from Seattle, Washington area, and had moved with my boyfriend down to Georgia. And of course, brought my horse, because I was like, okay, the Southeast, there's so many horse shows, we're going to have the best time. So brought Pi down there, and it's hard to meet people. So I was volunteering at horse shows, you know, trying to get connected into the community. And at the same time was looking for a new wardrobe, because I needed t-shirts. And of course I wanted like cute, fun graphic tees. Couldn't find anything. So I was like, I might as well just make some, and posted a design on Facebook. And I can't remember how it got picked up, but somehow the design got traction and kind of went quote unquote viral. And that solidified that this was an idea that, you know, might have legs. So I printed some t-shirts with a local screen printer and started going to horse shows. And that's actually how I started to make friends. So funny enough, like, you know, now Dapple Bay has a community online called the Barn Isle on Facebook. That's the name of our group. But yeah, that idea of community and friendship has really always been more than it being a business for me.
I love that. And I really think that that rings true to so many people, because when it comes to small businesses, it's like you're buying from the person, or you know that person and you have like a connection with them. And I think that's why, you know, so many small businesses, they you know, have that personal connection. You've done an amazing job with the Barn Isle.
Thank you. It's such an awesome group. And it's been an idea for a long time, just because it's, you know, the core of the brand. And, you know, how do I create that, you know, in the online space? So I had, you know, hopes for it to be the type of like welcoming space that it has become. But it's honestly kind of exceeded my hopes, because there are days when I can't get in there to post. And I remember one specific post where someone was just had a hard day and needed some help and advice. And I saw the post, but I didn't have time to sit down and really respond thoughtfully. And I was like feeling nervous, like, oh, I hope that someone responds. And then when I had a chance to look again, maybe like 6 hours later, there were, I'm not kidding, like 40 comments, and not just like short little comments. There were long, heartfelt, just incredible, thoughtful women responding to this Barn Isle member who was just in need of support. And it blew me away. I'm like, okay, it's, you know, it's real. And that's just the coolest feeling, to, you know, have this concept of a brand, but then to see it like be played out. That's probably my favorite thing about Dapple Bay.
That's awesome. Now, going back to just taking your brand full time, because I know you balanced, you know, a professional design career and having your business as a hobby. And so for anyone who might be in those shoes right now, and they're thinking about, you know, they work full time and they want to take their hobby to the next level, what kind of advice would you give them?
I would say to not do what I did, because I am an ideas person and I'm not a numbers person. So I went from, you know, very stable career and really just felt like I could no longer do both and dove into my business full time. I would probably suggest that you figure out like what your salary requirements are and really be strategic with your business on how to get there. Because I didn't do that. I, you know, I'm lucky that I'm married to an awesome guy with a great, great stable income. So I could do that. And it allowed me to grow my company really quickly. But I learned that, you know, fast growth is not always the most sustainable growth. So, you know, when I jumped in full time, I was like, gung ho, this business is going to grow really quickly. And it did, like 200% year over year. And while that's amazing on paper, like the reality of that has been quite overwhelming.
Stressful,
so
right?
So I would recommend that someone has a much longer range strategy that's based on, okay, this is the salary that I need to make. And then gradually, you know, in your business, figure out how you're going to make that happen. I would not recommend to do it like I did.
Got it. So plan it out, basically. Get that, write down those goals and the plans for the new year and then go out and make it happen.
Yeah. And really be granular, you know, so have like a, you know, what your business would need to be doing in order for it to make sense for you to leave your day job. You know, unless you do have the ability like I did to just jump in, I mean, then absolutely go for it. But I still do recommend having some sort of a plan.
Yeah. Well, also consistency is key, because even on social media, you know, you're very consistent with your posting. And I think that's something that you probably would agree is just be very consistent with the amount of content or time you're going to commit to making that content, right?
100%. You know, the consistency, I think, is something I've also struggled with, and I actually have help now. So that I don't have to be always on, you know, the Instagram account. But yeah, consistency, like small little steps in one direction, is always going to win over like big random actions. So I think remembering that, and, you know, if the goal is to make your business a full-time thing, just have like small sequential, like monthly goals for your profitability. Because if you can make even $200 and then you make $300 and then $400, like that will grow and get to a place where your business has a bigger audience. You understand the systems and processes better. So I think, yeah, you're right. The small little steps is the way to go.
Just like training a horse.
You're so right. Yes. I love how the horse always gives us a good analogy for everything.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And then one last thing before we go here, we talked about the barn aisle a little bit, but I think that's a great place for people who don't know about your brand and are looking for a group. Susan, I don't know if you're in it, but
not.
Okay, well, you need to join. But it's a great Facebook group because it's so positive. And you know how I'm in a lot of Facebook groups, and some of them, those admins, they are stressed out because people are fighting and they're disciplining them. But Leah's group, everyone is just so nice and so kind. And I feel like you've done just a great job of making it a safe space for equestrians to ask for advice and not feel like they're going to get attacked, or, you know, everything really does come from a place of wanting to help. So, that's a fantastic place for them to visit.
Yeah.
It's just the barn aisle, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. That's just all written out. It's such an awesome space. And I think that's another tenet of my brand that is echoed in the group, is this idea of, you know, horsemanship and like always learning more. Because since I've had horses, like there's new research. Like veterinary practice has, you know, farrier care has, everything has improved. And I've had horses, gosh, most of my life, nutrition, but like my knowledge has, and beliefs have changed like through the knowledge. So I think having that position is what makes it so such a safe space, right? Is like everyone in that group embraces the knowledge, and you don't have, I think, the problem that causes the arguing is people who think that their way is the best way.
Right.
But there's really an environment of wanting to learn, wanting to grow as horsewomen. So that really is the temperature of the group and everyone in it. So yeah, it's awesome.
That's fantastic. And where else can everyone find you online? What are your links?
So dapplebay.com, that's the website. And we have the Instagram, that's at dapplebayek. And we're on TikTok, unfortunately. Okay. Just at Dapple Bay. TikTok is not my thing, but we are there.
Perfect. Well, we will leave those links in the show notes for everyone to find them and go follow Dapple Bay. Leah, thank you so much for chatting with us today. We really appreciated you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
Bath time is never complete without Mane & Tail's Ultimate Gloss Shampoo and Conditioner. This revolutionary formula is designed to get even the teeniest particles of dirt and dander out of the skin and hair, keeping it clean longer without stripping the coat of its natural oils. With its pH-balanced formula and natural ingredients, this must-have shampoo and conditioner works like a dream to deep clean and remove dirt, dried sweat, and salty layers while moisturizing the coat, mane, and tail to prevent breakage. Ultimate Gloss also contains protein and natural oils like coconut and avocado oil that help strengthen, volumize, and moisturize, providing a high-shine, show-ready finish. Ultimate Gloss is saddle-safe, so if you bathe your horse before you ride, your saddle will not slip. Unlock new levels of high shine and gloss and discover the secret by visiting ultimategloss.com or visit a tack store near you.
The ASPCA's Right Horse program brings us this month's adoptable horse, Miss Jane, lovingly known as Jane. Today we are chatting with Nancy Turner, the president of This Old Horse. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for being here. So tell us a little bit. I'm actually looking at her on the screen right now, and we're going to link her in the show notes. But tell us about Jane.
Well, first of all, I think she's absolutely beautiful. I am a off track thoroughbred owner myself, and I have big crushes on big thoroughbred mares. So let's start with my own personal crush, which is why we wanted to highlight her today. So This Old Horse is we have a variety of 33 different breeds of horses that we work with through different phases of their lives. And one of our big programs that we've had for the last 2 years is transitioning off-track thoroughbreds. We have a thoroughbred racetrack here, Canterbury Park, and we have been really successful with the racing industry, showing their commitment to transition for racehorses. So Miss Jane came to us from one of the very successful owners and breeders at Canterbury Park. She's very special in a lot of ways. She had a successful race career. She's a big, beautiful bay mare. She's 16 hands. She's very elegant. But what I love about her is her face. She has a little bit of white on her face, a little star and so on. So I think she has a very appealing face. But she had a race career herself and then was selected as a broodmare prospect. Unfortunately, she had one foal and ended up with problems in delivery. She had a great big baby and she had some injury during the foaling process that wasn't completely corrected surgically afterwards. So her broodmare days were over. So she's super well-bred, very well put together. You know, they were really excited about her as a broodmare candidate, but that just wasn't her path forward. So she came to us to find a new path forward. Her one baby is a coming two-year-old right now and is probably going to have his own little racing career. So we're going to watch him as our kind of grandchild for all of us.
Hey, Nancy, really quick question for you. I also have an off-track thoroughbred, a huge fan of the breed. And I'm just curious, so her jockey club name is Miss Jane. So if people wanted to go and take a look at her online and see,
on her Equibase, Yeah. Keela is her sire, who's a Minnesota stallion that we, you know, that we're big fans of here in Minnesota. Yeah, she earned $59,000 in 10 starts. So it was, she had a, you know, she wasn't, you know, not the top earner, but she did pretty well for just two seasons of racing. So the one thing, the unique thing about her, she's lovely. She was in a, we have a partnership with University of Wisconsin River Falls, where they have a racehorse retraining class, and we provide horses for their students in this class. And she went through that course. So she has one semester of under saddle training, and she did great. She was a quick study. She's smart. She moves nicely. So she has had 12 weeks or one semester of training. And the one thing about her that's unique, because of this pregnancy complications or delivery complications, she has what's called windsuck, which a lot of times people associate that with kind of like a cribbing where your horses will windsuck. But for mares that have had this this problem with their vagina, it is like a farting noise under that when she moves. She has her own little beatbox going, and it doesn't affect anything, but it might, but it just makes her unique. It's a unique side of her that she has her own little soundtrack under saddle, but it doesn't cause any problems. It has been tried to be repaired with cassock surgery twice. It didn't, was unsuccessful. So she's going to probably end up, that will just be a unique characteristic of her for the rest of her life. There's no risks associated with it. There's no danger other than she may have a tendency for a urinary tract infections at some point. So just something to watch for. We've had her for a year. She hasn't had any. She's, but she is lovely. She's fun. She's personable. You know, I think that she is somebody's absolute dream horse, their right horse.
Yeah.
Just waiting for a new friend.
No, that's great. What level of rider would be a good fit for her?
Well, the person, she's track trained, and then, you know, 12 weeks after that. So she is, has 12 weeks of training, but she doesn't have any quirky personality or difficulty. She's easy, but I think that she would be suitable for a beginner if they had a trainer working with her. Like any horse that with 12 weeks on it, you know, it's just, but I think she would also be a really fun project for somebody who was a pretty proficient rider or as a show horse, or, you know, she's got the chops for, she's very athletic and big.
Yeah.
So I think that she would be a fun project if you have a lot of experience and, or if you had a trainer and wanted to work your way up to something. You know, you always think about, is the horse ahead of you or are you ahead of the horse? You know, and it, you know, you teeter-totter with that.
Right. No, that's wonderful. Now, how can people apply to adopt her?
Well, the link on My Right Horse will send us the inquiry, and our placement team then will take it from there. We have a very efficient team that does this. We have a very efficient process, so it goes fast. So if someone's seriously interested in her, we can make it happen in a relatively short time.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Nancy, for being here with us today. And we really hope that Miss Jane gets a wonderful home and finds her person.
I really appreciate the interest. It was really nice meeting you.
Yeah, nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to our show. We want to hear from you. What topics are you interested in? You can find me on Facebook or Instagram at Saddle Seeks Horse. And Raquel is on both Facebook and Instagram too at Horses and Heels with a little underscore at the end. Don't be shy. We'd love to hear from you. Also, if you enjoy Barn Banter, please subscribe, leave us a review, and tell your friends so more horse lovers can find us. See you next month.
Horse Illustrated can be found at horseillustrated.com. For special subscription discounts on Horse Illustrated and Young Rider, just for podcast listeners, visit horseillustrated.com/podcast.